Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Hey, we are back in the air chair from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on this Wednesday, February 15th of 2023. Welcome into Spencer on Sports. Kicking off local programming, 4 hours of it here today and, well, almost every day here at KGYM. Love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. Again, 319-366-1600 is your talk or text line. Talk some college hoops to start the show today. A couple games of note to talk about. Three specifically in-state tonight. Get to those and look at what happened in the world of college basketball Tuesday. Some interesting stuff happening in the Big Ten, especially in the men's side last night. We'll get to that and get to the world of college basketball to start the show here momentarily. Get into some NFL news and notes. The offseason has just begun. It is Celebration Wednesday and Kansas City. Chiefs fans, if you were not able to go down to Kansas City to revel in the glory of winning the Super Bowl championship over the weekend, probably living vicariously through social media or local news outlets down in the Kansas City metro. The parade going on today. Lots of beverages being had. Lots of people celebrating. Patrick Mahomes. I saw a picture of him with the silver MVP football and got the trophy and all that stuff. So that is going on today. Get to latest news from the NFL coaching world. Coaching cycle has completed. The Philadelphia Eagles will be looking for two new coordinators, both their offensive and defensive coordinators, named as NFL head coaches yesterday. Get to that coming up later on in the show. Also, Derek Carr. He is probably the first quarterback that is looking for a new home, or among quite a few that might be looking for a new home this offseason. He was officially released by the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday. We'll talk about what that means for Carr coming up, what that means for the league coming up later on in the show. Also, got a special double dip today. I don't want to say put it on hiatus. Didn't really do it all that often, but brought back Collector's Corner last week. Segment we do every once in a while, talking about sports cards and collectibles and stuff like that here on the show. And I've actually got a double dip today. One good piece of news. Second is a not so good piece of news. It doesn't affect anyone. It might have, though, if you were looking for some specific types of memorabilia online might impact your ability to buy it, although it's a good thing that this particular story has come to the forefront in the sports headlines over the last 24 hours or so. So we'll talk about that later on in the program as well. Again, 319-366-1600. Glad to be back with you here today. Two-thirds of our local shows were off yesterday. I mentioned that on Monday's show. Got a free day off, company day off. Scott and Mark, being Scott and Mark, they decided to still come in and do their show. So if you were confused why we weren't here and Todd wasn't here, but Scott and Mark were, Todd and I took advantage of the day off, and Scott and Mark love doing their show so much, so they came in yesterday. We're all here. We're all back here today. I see some texts from yesterday still on the text line asking if Todd got canceled. No, none of us got canceled. Just had the day off. For Valentine's Day yesterday. So we hope you enjoyed the Tuesday. We're back with you for the rest of the week here at KGYM. Let's start off with college hoops here for tonight. Some interesting stuff happening. College hoops had some. Is it really surprising in the Big Ten when you see results come in and you're like, oh, well, Is this really a surprise at this point in the season or in this conference? And I think you could say yes for one of the results last night, but we'll get to that coming up here in just a bit. But some important games happening tonight. One is happening down to the south in Iowa City. I'm actually going to be in attendance tonight. Going to take off the sports talk radio host hat and put on the women's basketball fan hat, if there is such a thing, and take in the Iowa-Wisconsin women's game tonight down at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Really, and this was asked of Lisa Bluter in her press availability, media availability yesterday, really kind of their last tune-up game. We talked on Monday and late last week after their loss to Indiana about the upcoming schedule. Kind of a tough one. This entire Big Ten season, as we know, has been it's a tough league, and you never know who's going to come in on fire or play a good game against you night in or night out. But really the last tune-up game against a team that is well below you in the standings. We saw one of those on Sunday for Bluter's bunch down in Iowa City, the 111-57 crushing of Rutgers. And, well, Wisconsin is a game behind Rutgers in the standings, 3-11 in the Big Ten, 8-18 overall. Iowa has dominated the series. If you follow women's basketball, even in the slightest, for the Hawkeyes, Iowa's won 26 in a row. Yeah, 26 in a row. Looking to make it 27 against the Wisconsin Badgers here for tonight. Of course, they won their first meeting back in Madison. Iowa did back in December 4th, so it was last year, technically. Still the same season, of course, but Iowa went up to Madison, had a slow start to the game, but pulled away in that second quarter, winning 102-71. But really the last tune-up, as I was saying, for Coach Bluter and her team going into the stretch run here with three really tough opponents. We talked about this last week, Nebraska on the road, Maryland on the road, and then that rematch coming up a week from Sunday as Iowa will welcome Indiana, conference-leading Indiana, into Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Sold-out crowd, final game of the season. Still not quite sure what's going to be specifically on the line. Indiana has not lost, did not lose since beating Iowa. They only played one game, but they took care of business against Ohio State. They've got some challenges coming up with Michigan and a solid Purdue team here yet in 2023. So we don't know what exactly is going to be up for grabs, if there's going to be a share for the conference title, or share of the conference title, I should say, on the way in that final matchup. But really a game, and you'll hear Lisa Bluter say that say this here in just a minute, where you want to play your best basketball and really just, essentially take care of business. That was the message we heard from Lisa Bluter yesterday against a Wisconsin team that has struggled. They've been struggling for a number of years now. I went back and looked at it. Of course, growing up around the Madison area, you hear a lot about the Badger basketball, the Badger women's basketball team. They haven't had a winning season in over 10 years. Still trying to find the right coach, the right system to get them back, get them to where they want to be up there in Madison, and have hit a rough patch here again this season. But important to get the kinks out if there are any, play a clean game, and get things ready for a stretch run that includes two top 10 teams, plus a Nebraska team that played you tough just a couple weeks ago here in Iowa City. Here are those comments from yesterday, Lisa Bluter talking to the media about what she's hoping to see from her team tonight down at Carver-Hawkeye Arena.
It's more like just what we saw at Rutgers, just keeping the intensity high no matter what, keeping the focus high no matter what, limiting mistakes. That's just the thing is, as you go down the stretch, the team that makes the fewest mistakes is often the team that wins. And so, not having those mistakes, but really looking, just crisp and executing. That's really what we're looking for.
And Lisa Bluter was asked about how she's been successful in getting her team to understand that every opponent, no matter whether they're 15-0 or 0-15, needs to be treated the same when it comes to preparing for that contest as her team goes up against them. And she was asked about how do you get your team to buy into that? How do you get your team to understand that when it's so easy to see, well, we beat Rutgers 111-57. We scored 102 on Wisconsin last time. We're going to do it again. It's easy to say that, but it's also easy to overlook in a conference that is as tough as the Big Ten. And Lisa Bluter commented on that yesterday as well.
I think they're smart and they understand that. You know, like one bad loss takes you out of the picture, you know, so you just don't want to have any of those bad losses. And I don't think we've had a bad loss yet this year. You know, you go back and you think a 1 point at Kansas State, it was early, it was 1 point, it was on the road. So I don't think we've had a bad loss and we want to keep it that way.
6:30 start time tonight down at Carver Hawkeye Arena, the gold out game, and it is on BTN Plus for tonight's action. 6:30 start. Iowa 20-5, 12-2. Wisconsin, as I mentioned, 8-18 overall, 3-11 in the Big Ten. Turning our attention to the men's side of things tonight, a game you can hear right here on KGYM tonight. You've got an important matchup for Iowa State. Now, the Iowa State men, considering they've dropped their last two games and four of their last five, losing both their games last week. Games they really could have had in the long run for Coach T.J. Otzelberger and his team. Cyclones losing at West Virginia, 76-71, then losing at home to Oklahoma State, 64-56. Taking on a TCU team that's hit a rough patch themselves. They've been dealing with some injuries, playing a tough schedule like they do in the Big 12. They've also lost consecutive games, in fact, three in a row, and four of their last five, losing to Kansas State on the road last Tuesday and then to Baylor on Saturday. Iowa State lost to Oklahoma State, as we talked about last Saturday, was the first loss at Hilton Coliseum this season, 12-1. On the season. So looking to rekindle a little bit of that Hilton magic here tonight. Saw in the notes that folks over at Iowa State send us here in the media, this is the 800th game for Iowa State at Hilton Coliseum. So I get the feeling, considering it's not just, you know, game number 647 or whatever, it's 800. This is the 800th game. I get the feeling there's going to be some celebrating tonight if they can get the win and knock off TCU, a team they've beaten once already this year. You remember back in January, Iowa State getting a two-point victory in Fort Worth. Gabe Kelscher coming up big with a game-winning shot in the final second. So, you know, it's going to be a tight contest. TCU plays good defense. They're a solid team. Still playing for seeding here in the Big 12, looking at the Big 12 standings. At this point of the season, TCU, like I said, they've lost three straight games, so they're looking to get back on track. 6-6, still in the picture, because it doesn't seem like anybody wants to firmly take and grasp control of the Big 12 here just yet. But 2.5 out of first place, Kansas, Texas, and Baylor all tied at 9-4. Iowa State still 1.5 back of those guys at 7-5. And then Kansas State and Oklahoma State there at 7-6, who are both a half game back of Iowa State. So jumbled at the top from Kansas down to TCU. All those teams 6-6 or better in conference play. So you know TCU is hungry to come in, get a win, split the season series, and move up in the standings and create a little bit more chaos in the Big 12 here if they get the win over Iowa State tonight. If Iowa State does get the win, they are able to pick up that win, get to 13-1 at Hilton Coliseum for the season. Would help them sweep the season series with TCU for the first time since 2016. They split last year. TCU's had a number of seasons where they've either won on their home court, then Iowa State has Iowa State's defended their home turf at Hilton Coliseum. See how it plays out tonight in Ames. I think going to be a pretty evenly matched contest tonight if the first meeting was any indication of how things are going to go with this return matchup tonight. I think that's what we are going to see as the 19th-ranked Cyclones host number 22 TCU. It's an 8 o'clock tip-off on ESPNU. And, of course, we've got the radio coverage here on KGYM, courtesy of the Cyclone Sports Network. That gets underway 1 hour prior to tip-off. John Walters and Eric Heft at 7 tonight We'll have the coverage for you right here on KGYM. Don't want to overlook the Missouri Valley tonight, too, after an all-time classic in that rivalry back a few short days ago, back at February 1st. We get the return matchup as well tonight for Drake and Northern Iowa up at the McLeod Center in Cedar Falls. It's an 8 o'clock start time as well. Drake playing some really good basketball of late, 7 wins in a row, tied for first in the MVC with Bradley. You and I, they've had a rough stretch, lost 5 in a row, 12-14 overall, and 8-8 in the Missouri Valley. That game will get underway tonight at 8 o'clock, like I mentioned. Of course, Drake winning the first matchup in double overtime back in February 1st at the Knapp Center in Des Moines. Bowen Bourne with a huge game, couple buzzer beaters to force OT. Not enough for Panthers as they fell back on the 1st of this month. That game on ESPN Plus. If you were looking for it on the television tonight, you could check it out there. So some important games tonight. Looking at the scoreboard from last night, some interesting stuff happening in the Big Ten. In case you missed it, Penn State, a team fighting for their tournament chances. On the outside looking in, if you're looking at the looking at the NCAA tournament bubble, I did see Joe Lunardi did not update his bracketology today. He did yesterday morning, so the results from yesterday not factored in just yet with ESPN, but Penn State crushing Illinois. Huge game for Jalen Pickett last night. 41 points, 15 of 20 from the floor, 5 of 9 from 3 as Penn State won 93-81, knocking off the Illini. Illinois with that loss, falling now to 8-6 and 17-8. Nebraska beating Rutgers as well. Rutgers has lost 3 in a row now, falling to 8-7. Remember when they were second in the conference coming in and playing Iowa just a few short weeks ago? Rutgers has now lost 3 straight. They lost by 10 to Nebraska last night, 82-72, in a game that got kind of heated last night up in Madison, and really a bubble battle. I saw a number of different people referring to that matchup, or this matchup, as that, a bubble battle between Wisconsin and Michigan, two teams that they've had, you know, some quality wins, but they've struggled when it comes to the season here. And Michigan, they've lost 2 in a row now. They're now 8-7, 14-12. Wisconsin, meanwhile, Wisconsin seems like one of those teams this year. And, of course, they beat Iowa at Carver-Hawkeye Arena in overtime. But they take, you know, one step forward, and then it seems like they take a step back. You saw them get a win over Penn State in overtime, and then they lose by 10, go ice cold in overtime against Nebraska. And then they beat Michigan. Well, they see a game against Rutgers coming up. And who's to know what will happen with that contest coming up this weekend? Still some tough games for the Badgers. Rutgers, Iowa, got to play Michigan again, and then Purdue still on their schedule. But Badgers, you know, we've seen them make a late season run before. I just think they're too inconsistent to do that, just seeing the games I've seen from them this year. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen. They did beat Michigan last night 64-59, 23 for Connor Asijan. To lead the Badgers in that one. Hunter Dickinson running his mouth for the game, saying he's going to come in here and steal a win. Showed a picture of him wearing a ski mask into the Kohl Center in Madison last night, and Badger student section was all over him last night as Michigan lost. No slaps. Handshake line was clean. I think I didn't watch the game last night. I was doing other things, so I watching the Bucks game last night. Big win over the Celtics, by the way, in the NBA. But didn't see any punches thrown in the handshake line. But we'll see what happens the return trip to Ann Arbor for Wisconsin and Michigan. Only one Big Ten game tonight. That's Indiana and Northwestern, of course, with what happened at Michigan State on Monday. The shooting, 3 dead, 5 injured. Shooter taking his own life. In that one, Minnesota and Michigan State, the men's game tonight. Also, the Purdue and Michigan State women's game, both have been postponed. So only one Big Ten game tonight between the Hoosiers and the Wildcats tonight in the Big Ten. Iowa men back in action tomorrow as they take on Ohio State. Chance to get some revenge. Of course, Hawkeyes losing in Columbus a couple weeks back. They will look to split the season series and defend their home court tomorrow night at 8 on ESPN2. That's a look at the college hoops world here for you on this Wednesday afternoon. Got some NFL to get to coming up in just a few moments. Coaching cycle has come to a close. Also, Derek Carr released officially by Las Vegas. We'll get the thoughts of ESPN and their NFL analysts about coaching and NFL moves and more coming up in just a few moments. Thanks for checking out the show. It's Spencer on Sports for a Wednesday here on The Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on The Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have a cloudy and cold afternoon. Later on tonight, a winter storm warning goes into effect as some light snow will start to move in initially. We'll have heavier snow by daybreak, and that is going to lead to snow-covered streets. Heavy snow falling during the commute will lead to difficult travel out on the streets. We'll continue to have moderate to heavy snowfall through the late morning, and then once it winds down, accumulation of 4 to 6 inches is expected with some locally higher amounts possible. That's your latest weather first forecast.
Sweetness is in the air. Sweethearts, sweet treats. And now Imon is offering the sweetest deal of the year on their fastest reliable fiber internet service. Sign up with Imon and get free internet service for 2 full months. That's right. Iowa's most reliable internet, one all-in monthly price, 2 full months free. All backed by the sweetest local customer support available. The best deal of the year is only available until February 26th. So give Imon a try today and enjoy 2 full months of internet free. Visit go.imon.net/radio to make the switch to Imon. New residential customers only. Other restrictions apply.
The Honda HR-V, CR-V, Pilot, Passport, and Ridgeline. They all have one thing in common. They never back off from a challenge. Available with all-wheel drive, the Honda SUV lineup has the performance you can count on and the capability to amaze. It's no wonder Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com named Honda the 2022 Best Value Brand.
So get to your Central Midwest Honda dealer. Honda gets the Midwest.
Based on 2022 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for more information.
Working out has been proven to increase your self-esteem, help with depression, anxiety, and stress. At the MAC, we care about you as a person. That's why we have personal trainers who can tailor a plan for weight loss and strength, group exercise classes, saunas, and other amenities to help you keep a positive work-life balance.
This year, I'm doing it for me.
This year, I'm joining the MAC for me.
Come in for a free tour or go to jointhe-mac.com. That's jointhe-mac.com.
On your marks, get set, save. Race to savings at Menards. Hurry in for great prices on everything for your home, garage, car, and more. With huge savings store-wide. Fuel up with our great selection of snacks, drinks, and lots of pizzas. Now, 2 for $11.96. Capture the checkered flag and race in to save big money at Menards. Good through February 18th.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into The Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Todd Brommelkamp show on the way from 4 to 6 today. That follows The Gym Class on the way between 3 and 4. About a half hour away from that block of our local programming starting up here at KGYM. 319-366-1600. Poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlements. Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Will the Iowa State men win tonight? Do they defend their home courts against TCU? You can vote at KGYMRadio.com. Simple yes or no question for you in our poll question today here at KGYM. 319-366-1600. Two other quick college hoops notes, an addendum to our Big Ten recap there. That Indiana-Northwestern game tonight, by the way, with all the shakeup we've had in the last couple days, that is a battle for outright second place in the Big Ten. As of tonight, things can still change, and they likely will, but Northwestern and Indiana both 9-5 and both 18-7 on the season so far. So Hoosiers playing some good ball. Northwestern has also won 3 in a row, so should be for the only Big Ten ticket, the only Big Ten game on the ticket tonight. That's it's a pretty good one. Not a matchup I think any of us saw coming as as a quote-unquote good one for 2023. But both teams 9-5 in conference for the season here tonight. I just clicked into something on ESPN.com. Soccer teams. Why did I do that? That's not Big Ten standings. What did I do? What did I click? At least it wasn't anything that could get me fired. That's all that matters. 319-366-1600. One other note, too. I mentioned Joe Lunardi, his latest bracketology was not updated since yesterday. So the results we talked about from yesterday not factored in yet. But when it comes down to it, Wisconsin listed as one of his first four out. Some big names there, too. Oregon, Kentucky, USC, and Wisconsin. As of yesterday, in Joe Lunardi's opinion, teams that are the first four left out of the tournament field. Penn State and Michigan both not in the field, unless I missed their name on the bracket here from Mr. Lunardi. But you have to believe maybe that win over Michigan moves Wisconsin up a little bit in the first four out conversation. Is it enough to put them in? Likely not. I don't think so. We'll see what happens, but kind of interesting to see the last four in, first four out as of yesterday from Lunardi. North Carolina, last four in. Kentucky, second team out. Is there going to be a tournament without North Carolina and Kentucky? It could happen. It's not outside of the realm of possibilities here. Still a long way to go, but as of right now, Kentucky on the outside looking in, North Carolina playing in Dayton in the play-in game. It's crazy. Crazy to think, but here we are. 2:31. Let's move on to the NFL here this afternoon. Some headlines. The offseason just getting going. I mentioned earlier the Chiefs parade happening today and putting a book on the 2022-23 season, heading into the offseason here with lots of questions. Draft coming up. Got the scouting combine on the way. Draft after that. Then free agency, of course, in there too. What we just saw an end of the coaching cycle here within the last 24 hours. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, the Philadelphia Eagles need to replace both coordinators, both their offensive and defensive coordinators. Were finalists for jobs and ended up getting hired for some of the head coach openings in the NFL. The Arizona Cardinals hiring Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator for Philly, as their new head coach on Tuesday. Gannon reportedly getting a 5-year contract. Lou Anarumo of the Cincinnati Bengals, their D coordinator, and offensive coordinator Mike Kafka, former Northwestern quarterback, now the offensive coordinator for the Giants. He was also a finalist along with Anarumo of the Bengals. Gannon, 40-year-old, and the Eagles' D coordinator the last two seasons. Of course, did a wonderful job with them this year. Top 10 defense in his first year. Number 2 in the league. 2 Pro Bowlers on defense. Ton of sacks, although one of the big notes was that they had 0 against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. And his defense gave up 24 second-half points as they let that halftime advantage slip away. Chiefs ended up winning the Lombardi Trophy with that 38-35 final score. Gannon replacing Cliff Kingsbury. Let go in January. Not a great run of success for Kingsbury. 28-37-1 with 1 playoff appearance in 4 seasons. And Gannon now the 4th head coach in 7 years for the Arizona Cardinals. And then Indianapolis Colts, a lot of people thought, okay, how's this going to go? You had the Colts with Jeff Saturday. Seemed like Jim Irsay wanted Jeff Saturday to be the guy, but in the end they went with Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, one of 14 candidates. He was the one they chose. So 13 other candidates along with Steichen that were considered for the Indy job, and it ended up going to the former Eagles offensive coordinator. And Steichen, Sounds like, from all accounts, impressing the Colts staff, front office staff, with the plan for addressing their quarterback position. Just reading between the tea leaves or listening to part of the press conference from yesterday, there are guys that they'd like. Will they make a push to get those certain guys in the draft? C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, maybe a Will Levis, and so on and so forth, coming up here for the NFL draft in late April. Yeah, we'll see, but Steichen looking to come in and help the Colts with turn things around, kind of get back on track, reading some of the analysis of the hire and reading what's next for the Colts. And I think it's true, and if you follow Colts football at all, quarterback, they need to get it figured out. I mean, still haven't – Andrew Luck's abrupt retirement a few years ago, trying to find a veteran QB that fits. And, Philip Rivers came in, a little bit of success there, but not a ton. Bringing in Carson Wentz, which was just an abject disaster, especially at the end. And then Matt Ryan. Season did not go as planned. Was benched, brought back, got hurt toward the end, and they just need to figure out exactly what they need at the quarterback position, and that's going to be up to Shane Steichen as he is the new head coach there in Indianapolis. Jeff Saturday posting a message on Twitter thanking the Colts faithful for their support. A lot of people supporting him getting the job, despite him going 1-7 as their interim head coach. Saturday saying it was an absolute blessing to be the interim head coach for the Indianapolis franchise, where he has spent much of his career when he was a player. Interesting move as well. ESPN's Dan Orlovsky weighed in on this. We'll hear from him coming up here in just a moment. But the Baltimore Ravens bringing in Todd Monken from the University of Georgia to be their new offensive coordinator. Georgia announcing in turn that analyst Mike Bobo, he is going to be the offensive coordinator again. Of course, Monken helping Georgia with these two national championships, back-to-back national championships, his offense averaging 501.1 yards and 40 points per game last season. He's been to the NFL before with Tampa Bay and then Cleveland. And talk about revitalizing an offense and getting things back on track with Baltimore, with Lamar Jackson in that situation. Certainly sounds like a step in the right direction, at least from the folks who are in the know. Yet to see what happens with the Lamar Jackson situation, but Todd Monken, the new offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. As I mentioned, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, weighed in on that hire on NFL Live yesterday, and here's what Dan had to say.
Monken is the perfect and ideal hire for Lamar Jackson, pro-style offense. Said this since he came out of college. That's what Lamar ran at Louisville. And Monken is this coordinator that goes, all right, what can you do? Who are you? What do I have? What you can do? Great, I'm going to make it work. L knows this. He won the national championship at Georgia without star wide receivers, good tight ends. So he's got this mindset of, hey, can Rashad Bateman run slants? Great, we'll do it. They're still going to utilize Lamar athleticism if he is still there and implement the RPO quarterback run game, but he's got this great understanding of NFL football. Now he's spent some time back in college football and all the new kind of philosophies that have come in from college football into the NFL, and you're going to get this great marriage.
ESPN's Dan Orlovsky there. Monken also interviewing for the Buccaneers offensive coordinator position this season, and ended up with the Baltimore Ravens. The other piece of news, speaking of offense, quarterback needy teams might be interested in Derek Carr as one of the prized possessions, I guess, if you will, for your team. If you need a quarterback, he's a veteran name that is officially on the market. The club informing Carr yesterday that they were going to release him, the decision that came just before his $40.4 million contract became guaranteed. Carr held the no-trade clause. He told Las Vegas he would not accept a trade to any team. So essentially, in the end, the Raiders had no choice. Carr recently, of course, made some news in visiting with the New Orleans Saints. one of many teams in the market for a new quarterback this offseason. And Dan Orlovsky weighing in on this as well, talking about which teams should pursue Derek Carr. Here's Dan once again.
9 teams, I think, are in this conversation for Derek Carr. But I want to put them in 2 groups, okay? 6 teams would be Indy, Houston, okay. Washington, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and San Francisco. Having a conversation of like, hey, is Derek Carr somebody that we want to bring in here? Then there's 3 teams that you can unequivocally say should be having the conversation about Derek Carr and their playoff teams with him. The New York Jets, the Carolina Panthers, and the Tennessee Titans. Those are the 3 teams that you sit there and go, all right, we get Derek Carr. We're good on defense. We got good enough pieces around him. If he plays to the level that he is for the majority of his career, we're going to be right in the mix come late December and January. The reason I talk about Indy and Houston is like having the conversation, I think they should go young. Washington, if you're going to do anything, it should be young, if not Sam Howell. New Orleans and Tampa Bay are both $55 million over the cap. It took me 17 years to graduate from college. I have no idea how financially they do it.
Sure.
And make a good team around him. San Francisco's got some questions.
ESPN's Dan Orlovsky there. Of course, this all was pretty much, like we said, a formality. Carr was benched with 2 weeks left to go in the regular season. The Raiders opted to go with Jarrett Stidham, which ended up being a lost season for Las Vegas. 6-9 record for Carr as the starter in 2022. 24 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, completed 60.8% of his passes this past season for Las Vegas. So that's the latest from the NFL here. Some interesting things happening as well. Fitz and Harry and the ESPN shows do a great job on covering the national scene, but interesting, some stir caused by comments made by Todd McShay, one of the ESPN NFL draft gurus, talking about his opinion on, this is something we've covered before, but his opinion on what the Bears should do with the number 1 overall pick in the draft.
Personally, I would take Bryce Young if I was Chicago. I don't think that's going to be the decision that they make. I think they're going to move back and take advantage of the fact that you have Houston at 2, Indianapolis at 4, Las Vegas at 7, I believe, Carolina at 9. There's a bunch of teams that want to move up. How far back do they move? We'll find out. But I would do it because I would want Bryce Young because I think he's an upgrade over Justin Fields, and I want his rookie contract so I have 5 years. But I don't think they're going to wind up making that decision, which means they're going to move back with one of these teams.
I think a lot of people conveniently missing what he said. In his opinion, he would do it, but he doesn't think that's what the Bears are going to do. So he's not saying specifically that they are going to do it. He says he thinks, you know, if he were in the Bears' position, they would end up taking Bryce Young, number 1, and moving on from Justin Fields. One of his co-workers at ESPN, Harry Douglas, as you just heard on Fitz and Harry here on KGYM, weekdays from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., he says the opposite. He thinks the Bears should be building around Justin Fields.
I can understand this logic if we had the visual of Justin Fields having, you know, an offensive line, playmakers all around him, and he's still struggling as a passer. We haven't had that yet. Justin Fields hasn't had the offensive line around him. Justin Fields hasn't had, you know, the skill position players around him to do miraculous things. He hasn't. But we also seen growth in him last year. You talk about the guy who rushed for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. Now, I understand he threw for 17 and threw 11 interceptions. That's a part of the game that he's going to have to get a little bit better at. But can you surround him by talent? Can you surround him by talent? We just watched Jalen Hurts play in the Super Bowl in this entire year with talent around him. We have watched Josh Allen with talent around him. We watch a lot of these other young quarterbacks get talent around them. Now it's time for Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears to surround Justin Fields with talent.
ESPN's Harry Douglas there reacting to the opinion of his colleague Todd McShay about what the Bears should do with the number 1 overall pick. I maintain that, in my opinion, they are going to trade it, accumulate both draft picks for this year and in the future. And if they're going to draft anywhere in that top 5, you're taking defense. I think you're better off trading the pick if you're Chicago. There are a lot of teams who need a quarterback. You heard the little clip from Todd McShay talk about it, and I think that is what you are going to see. Them trade with maybe Indy, maybe Seattle, maybe almost at Oakland, Las Vegas, maybe another team that comes up. I think you're going to see them trade that number one pick and keep Justin Fields and build around him. I think that is, in the end, the smart move if you are Chicago. 2:44, take a quick timeout, little NBA, and as promised, a double collector's corner to wrap up the show on the way in just a bit.
Dell Technologies President's Day event is here with deals to power all your passions. The savings start now on select sleek XPS laptops and more, powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and monthly payment options with Dell Preferred Account. Just call 877-ASK-DELL for these limited-time President's Day deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL.
The basketball and hockey seasons are heating up. Baseball is just around the corner, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats Rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th free. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats. Life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of the 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions.
10 seconds remaining, down by one, and the ball is in your best player's hands. Dribble, drive, crossover, step back, elevate it, release, rotation. These moments are what it's about.
Backing up, fires a deep three, and done it!
And you can hear it all right here on the Cyclone Sports Network from Learfield.
The Cyclone men host TCU here at tonight at 7 on the gym. That's right, we got it for you tonight here on KGYM. You can vote in our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Will the Iowa State men win tonight? Yes or no? You can vote again at KGYMradio.com, courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, early leader in the clubhouse. Listeners out there think, yes, Cyclones do bounce back with a win tonight over TCU. Don't forget, coverage of the Cyclones here on the gym brought to you in part by lifelong Cyclone fan Lisa Nolan Realtor. She's once again the cardinal sponsor for the men's and women's basketball seasons here on KGYM. More info about her at lisanolanrealtor.com and the full broadcast schedule at kgymradio.com as well. 319-366-1600, double dip of Collector's Corner coming up here in just a few moments. Quick look at the NBA scoreboard from last night. Milwaukee with a big win. A shorthanded Boston team. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown both out last night. Derek White carrying the load for the Celtics, but not enough between him and Malcolm Brogdon to counteract the 1-2 punch of Giannis and Drew Holiday. Drew with 40 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. Giannis with 36 and 13 to go along with 9 assists, 13 rebounds, that is, as the Bucks win in overtime 131 to 125. Sacramento Kings with a loss last night to Phoenix 120 to 109. Devin Booker with 32. DeAndre Ayton, double-double of 29 points and 11 rebounds. How about Chris Paul? Still got it. 17 points, 19 assists last night in the win for the Suns. Kings getting 35 from De'Aaron Fox and 24 and 15 from Domantas Sabonis last night. Keegan Murray finishing with just 6 in the loss for the Kings. Kings still in third in the West, 7.5 games out of first, a game up on Phoenix in the standings. As we get towards the All-Star break here. Toronto beating Orlando last night, 123-113. The Clippers beating Golden State. I saw a stat on SportsCenter this morning that Warriors are like 7-22 on the road this year. It's brutal for a defending NBA champion, of course, playing without Steph Curry. Right now, they lost by 10 to the Clippers last night. And Washington beating Portland, 126-101. National TV games tonight. Good one in the East tonight on ESPN Philly, hosting Cleveland. You've also got the Lakers. Lakers on national TV. Stunning development. Taking on the New Orleans Pelicans tonight. That's the late night game on ESPN. Of regional interest, the Bulls in Indiana to take on the Pacers tonight as well. 319-366-1600. In case you missed it, the NBA All-Star Weekend. I follow the NBA, not, like I've said this before, not overtly closely. I keep up with the scores, keep up with the trends, the key headlines and stuff. But I feel like the All-Star break, I knew it was coming up, but I feel like it just kind of snuck up on us. But the Skills Challenge three-point contest and the dunk contest competitors were announced this week. Skills Challenge, good to see three rookies team up for the Skills Challenge. Paolo Banchero, Jaden Ivey, and Jabari Smith teaming up, going up against Team Antetokounmpo, obviously featuring Giannis and his brothers Thanasis and Alex, and Team Jazz, Jordan Clarkson, Walker Kessler, and Colin Sexton, part of the Skills Challenge. Three-point contest, got Tyrese Halliburton taking part in that, among others. And then the slam dunk contest, KJ Martin of the Houston Rockets, Mac McClung, Sixers player also in the G League, Trey Murphy of the Pelicans, and Jericho Sims of the Knicks are parts of the slam dunk contest this year. Keegan Murray, of course, will be part of the Rising Stars game, which is on Friday night. We'll have that and the All-Star Saturday night, plus the All-Star game itself coming up Sunday night from ESPN Radio. Right here on KGYM. 2:50, quick 60-second timeout. Back with that double dip of a collector's corner on the way after this on the gym.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Susan has always wanted to live in a chateau.
I like a certain je ne sais quoi.
While Jake is more into the Cape Cod style home.
It's a classic look.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Susan and Jake found a Cape Cod style home where they will only speak French.
Bonjour, je t'aime, merci beaucoup, and cordon bleu.
You'll get better with time.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Back at 2:51, Spencer at Sports starting to wind down here for Wednesday. 319-366-1600. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way between 4 and 6. As promised, a double dip for Collector's Corner today. Let's start with the bad stuff. Get the bad news out of the way and get to the good news today, because it's a big day for collectors out there. If you are a collector of sports cards, we'll tell you why coming up in just a few moments. But how about this? Saw this last night at SportsCenter. Law enforcement agents in South Carolina confiscating over 600, yes, 600 fake championship rings across major U.S. professional sports and the NCAA from a memorabilia store in South Carolina. As part of a seizure of counterfeit merchandise, these counterfeit rings could have fetched as much as $15 million at retail. So if these had actually gone to sale, they didn't go to sale because they were all seized, but $15 million worth of fake championship rings. It's the highest value seizure of counterfeit merchandise in the office of the South Carolina Secretary of State's history. And was driven by fake NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, and NCAA championship rings. It includes 157 fake Super Bowl rings, 83 NBA Finals rings, 99 World Series rings, 29 Stanley Cup rings, and 251 NCAA championship rings for unnamed sports. All fake, completely fake. So you could have gone to the store in upstate South Carolina and bought one of these rings, and they would have told you it's authentic, when in reality, it was not. And you would have been out the money for, say, a fake, Golden State Warriors NBA championship ring. Fake Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl ring. Like, oh, where'd you get that? Oh, we bought it in a collection. Really, it wasn't. It was fake. So, like, good for law enforcement in South Carolina. 600 fake championship rings. Got to be careful, not just with rings or even cards and jerseys, autographs. Make sure it's authenticated. Make sure it's real. Don't want to be out the money and have a fake piece of memorabilia on your hand. And on to the good news to wrap it up today. Big day in the baseball card world. Happy Series 1 release day. Top Series 1 baseball cards out today. Fanatics, of course, buying the Topps company. They announced that today is the day you can grab a pack of cards or a box or multiple boxes, if you so choose, and try to hit your favorite players. Julio Rodriguez, the reigning American League Rookie of the Year, is the cover star for Series 1. They do a different athlete for each of the three series. I think it was Juan Soto, Series 1 last year. I'm trying to think back. I opened so much of it that you'd think I would know, but no, I take that back. It was Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani last year. Juan Soto was 2021, but Shohei Ohtani, I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. got the cover last year, and Max Scherzer, I think, and Jacob DeGrom were the final release last year. But Top Series 1 baseball cards out today for 2023. Key rookies. It seems like that's what everybody's chasing these days. Of course, you want the star stuff, Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, so on and so forth and the like. But key rookies in this release, if you are curious, Adley Rutschman of the Baltimore Orioles. I also see Riley Green of the Tigers on the checklist. Cardinal fans, Nolan Gorman. His true rookie card is in Series 1. This release, Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles, Michael Harris of the Braves, Vaughn Grissom of the Braves as well. Vinny Pasquantino of the Royals, his true rookie card in Series 1 this year. And Christopher Morel of the Cubs, also in Series 1, among others. There's plenty of them, plenty of rookies to chase, but those are some of the key guys that folks will be looking for in this year's product. I have yet to open some. It's release day. I'm going to try to get my hands on some maybe this weekend. It is abundantly printed, so if you are curious, is it rare? No, it is not rare. They are printing it to the moon and back probably 7 times from what I've seen for the people in the know. In the baseball card insiders. So if you are looking to get back into the hobby, there is plenty of room for you, and there's plenty of cards to go around here in 2023. That's your Double Dip at Collector's Corner, and that's the show for today. Stay tuned for the gym class on a Wednesday. They got Mark Ironside joining them today. Todd Brommelkamp has WagerWise coming up today after 5:30. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 here on KGYM.